Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hello. Welcome to News from the Torah. Today is January 24th, 2021, 11th of Shvat, Torah portion of Bishalach, and I'm Leah Aharoni. Welcome to a new episode of the show. So what do we have in this week's Torah portion? The Jews have finally left Egypt, and they come to the Red Sea. The Egyptians are following them in hard pursuit, and God splits the sea for them. As they come to the other side, the sea closes back in on the Egyptians and drowns them all. The Jews are joyous, and they sing a song to God, and then they continue on into the desert. They get the man, and they get quite a few new commandments. So where does that leave us? There is one short verse at the end of the joyous song of the Jewish people, and that's the joyous song of the Jewish women. In that one short verse, which is really easy to overlook, are hidden some of the deepest secrets of the redemption. The redemption of the Jewish people from exile. And they have to do, and you won't believe it, with female leadership. Well, the news gave us the perfect backdrop for this conversation was the inauguration last week of Kamala Harris as United States' first female vice president. Unfortunately, a lot of attention to Kamala Harris has focused on her gender and race, not her policy and outlooks. We'll talk more about that after the break. We will also talk more about what COVID has meant for us as families and how the lessons of Egypt can enlighten us to reclaim our parenting and family time. And finally, this week we will celebrate the holiday of Tu B'Shvat, the Jewish Arbor Day, all of that after we come back after the break. Don't go anywhere.
The return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel was prophesied in the Bible thousands of years ago and is coming true today. Shalom. Join me, Josh Wander, on Israel Unplugged. Listen in as we delve into the spiritual and physical aspects of the Jewish return to Zion. We'll discuss the biblically mandated, historic, and of course practical understandings of this incredible transition from exile to redemption. That's Israel Unplugged, every Monday on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back. So as I told you earlier, this week we're reading the Torah portion of Bishalach, in which the Jewish people sing a joyous song to God after the splitting of the Red Sea. And following that, all of the women, led by Miriam, sing a joyous song of their own. In the Haftorah, a portion from the books of prophets we read in the synagogue every week, which usually mirrors the themes of the Torah portion, we will read the song of Devorah after her victory over the enemy of the Jewish people, Sisera. And this week is the perfect time to discuss female leadership, especially as it relates to the secrets of redemption. Now, on the news this past week, we also heard a lot about female leadership. Kamala Harris became the first Vice President of the United States of America. And as I said earlier, I find it quite unfortunate that a lot of the coverage focuses on her being a black woman or her being a woman. I think that the gender and the race of candidates should play less of a role, and their policies and outlooks and record should be the deciding factor by which we measure our politicians. Because otherwise, we descend into a cesspool of identity politics where people are measured by their race, gender, religion, and not by their performance. Is there anything that is more racist than that? Now, yes, she has become the first woman in the vice president's office, an office that anybody who knows anything about American politics understands is quite useless. She has no power and no decision-making, just the ability to sit idly by and wait for Joe Biden to do what? She's not the first woman to become a leader in the free world either. Angela Merkel has been leading Germany and Europe for almost 2 decades. Margaret Thatcher became the first UK prime minister 3 decades ago and was the most influential prime minister of that country since Winston Churchill. Israel had its own female prime minister back in the 70s, Golda Meir. And just 4 years ago, Hillary Clinton ran not for the vice president's office, but for the president's office. And as to color, remember we had a president called Obama, who spent 8 years in the Oval Office? So yes, having a black person in top echelons of American leadership is no news. So like I said, I think we should be spending less time on her gender or her race. Because if you recall, just before Biden's nomination, there was a lot of talk about his running partner. And it was quite clear that the running partner would be a black woman, even before Harris's name was mentioned. She was chosen for her color and her gender, not exactly for her record. And I think that this kind of identity politics and political correctness is actually quite destructive to our unity and to our ability to see each other as people. Joe Biden is an old school politician who has been in politics for close to 50 years. Choosing a black woman as his running mate for politically correct brownie points only underscores his privilege and old school politics. It's cynical, not progressive. And there is an alternative. In this week's Torah portion, we hear about Miriam and then about Devorah. Our sages tell us that the Jewish people were redeemed from Egypt in the merit of righteous women, and that the Jewish people have been delivered in every single crisis in Jewish history in the merit of Jewish women. And so will the Jewish people be redeemed in the final days in the merit of Jewish women. In the story of Egypt, we meet a lot of amazing women who did create that kind of situation where the Jewish people could survive and then leave. It starts with the midwives, Yocheved and Miriam, the mother and the daughter, also known as Shifra and Puah. Then Miriam watches over Moshe to make sure that he stays alive. And then Batya, Pharaoh's own daughter, brings up Moshe in the royal palace, and Moshe's wife Zipporah saves him so that he can go on to become the leader of the Jewish people. Nobody symbolizes the spirit of the Jewish women in Egypt more than Miriam, the prophetess. Her name, Miriam, comes from the Hebrew word mar, or bitter. Nobody felt the pain of Egyptian slavery as keenly as Miriam did. And so nobody celebrated the joy of the deliverance more happily than her. As the Jewish people were about to leave Egypt, where they didn't have the time to take provisions, the Jewish women took tambourines because they knew they would be delivered. And so at the sea, they danced with the tambourines they brought out of Egypt. Just think about it. You know, we're all plunged into a crisis right now. In Israel, 50, 60 people die from COVID every day. And for sure, the end will be in sight sometime soon. But can you think of people preparing after the COVID parties now as we're in the depth of this despair? This is exactly what the Jewish women did in Egypt. They knew there would be an end to the story. They knew there would be a time where they would be delivered. And so they prepared tambourines so that they could dance with joy when their deliverance happens. But our sages go much deeper than the story that's in the Torah. The Song of Men, led by Moshe, starts with the words, "As Yeshir," and then Moshe will sing. On the other hand, the Song of the Women starts with, "Shiru leHashem," sing to God now. The sages pick up on that and say that Moses' song was about the future deliverance, that he understood that the Jewish people would be redeemed at the end of days, but he did not quite understand the consciousness needed for this redemption, and so his song is in the future tense. On the other hand, the women, led by Miriam, recognize the consciousness needed for redemption right there at the sea, and so they sang it in the present. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe says that Miriam led all the women of the Jewish people in every single generation. All the women of the Jewish people in every single generation carry this consciousness of redemption. So what is it? What do we need to understand to merit redemption? You see, the male world and the world we live in, the world we have been living in for the past 5,000 years, is hierarchical and linear. The world of men, in which ego reigns supreme, in which every person knows exactly what his station is, who is his boss, and who are his subordinates. This is the male world, and this is the world of hierarchy, the world that is not perfect. But the world of redemption is a world that is circular, a world where every single person is close to God in the same way. And this future world of redemption is symbolized by Miriam's circle dance. In a circle, every single point is equidistant from the middle. And it says in the Talmud that in the future, the righteous people will dance in a circle around God. So Miriam and the Jewish women understood that back at the sea. The Jewish women have been carrying the circle consciousness since that day. In the perfect world of redemption, each person will be recognized for his or her unique contribution, and every person will have a direct lifeline, a direct understanding and consciousness of God. All of this is also symbolized by the circle. So this little song of Miriam and the Jewish women that lasts only one verse has in it the secret to Jewish redemption. And then for the Haftarah, the reading from the prophets, out of all the songs of redemption in the Bible, our sages chose specifically the song of Devorah. Devorah was a judge. She left the Jewish people in a war against Sisera. The Lubavitcher Rebbe explains that while Moses led the Jewish people towards the land of Israel to conquer it and to settle it as the Jewish land, it is up to women to keep the land safe from foreign influences and foreign ideologies once we're actually settled in it. And so once the Jewish people already settled in the land, it was Devorah who led the war against foreign conquerors who threatened to overrun us with their thinking and ideology. And I think it's a very apt lesson for our times. There are many ideologies swirling around our doors. There are many thought processes out there that we do not want to penetrate into our homes, into our lives, into our thinking, into our education. And so it is up to us. And so it is up to us to be quite vigilant to ensure that these foreign influences do not become part of our world, our outlook, that we do not bring them into our culture and entertainment that we enjoy, the movies, the books, the newspapers, the people that we follow. After the break, we will talk more about how to reclaim our family life with the lessons of the women of Egypt.
Hi everyone, this is Andrea Simintow from Jerusalem, inviting you to drop everything and join me on my show, Pull Up a Chair. We'll visit this week's quirky stories, meet fabulous guests, and discover my Israel. Together we'll laugh, shout, and explain the topics that make us say, hey, we've got to talk about that. So get comfortable and pull up a chair with me, Andrea Simintow, every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
And welcome back. So it is now almost a year since The Atlantic published what is now an iconic article called The Coronavirus is a Disaster for Feminism, in which Helen Lewis argued that the coronavirus sent women back into the 50s because now, lo and behold, they need to take care of their kids. And yes, the pain is real. I'm a mother of 7 children. I work, I own a business, and I totally understand. We wake up every morning and need to now take care of our kids 24/7 now that we're in lockdown. And this is probably a reality for many of you out there, whether your country is in lockdown or whether the school is in lockdown. We are not used to seeing our kids so much. It sort of is a lost skill. And every time I get on Facebook, I see mothers complaining about spending so much time with their kids. It's a pain I understand, but it's a pain I think that takes us right back to the story of Egypt. In this week's Torah portion, we read about the crossing of the Red Sea. And after the Jews crossed the Red Sea, they sang a song to God. In that song is a very interesting sentence, which says, Ze Eli Ve'anvehu. This is my God, and I will glorify him. Now, every time the Torah uses this word, ze, this, it implies that somebody is pointing to something or somebody. And you can't really point at God. He doesn't have an image in Judaism. So the sages of the Talmud bring a beautiful midrash. It's a story that has a point. It's really an allegory. When women of Egypt could not have children because the Egyptians decreed that every baby, every male baby, would be thrown into the Nile, they didn't give up. And they still had children, but they would go out into the field, give birth to this baby in the field, and then turn to God and say, God, I did my part. I have this child. Now you do your part and you take care of him. And they would leave the baby out there in the field and go back home. And God would send down his angels, and the angels would clean the child, clothe the child, feed the child, bring up the child. And once the child was grown, he would come back, search out his parents' home, and come back in. After the Jews left Egypt and crossed the Red Sea, they saw an image of God, whatever that means. And these children who grew up in the fields would point at that image and say, hey, mom, dad, look at this. See that image of God? That's who took care of me out there in the fields. So like we said, God obviously doesn't have a graven image. And the story is really an allegory with a point. As we said in previous shows, the story of Egypt closely mirrors the story of the last redemption. And just like the women of Egypt had to go out into the fields and leave their children there to be taken care of by somebody else, in the past 50 years, many of us have farmed out taking care of our children to other people. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm one of these women. I have 7 children. I work. And yes, my kids go to daycare and to kindergarten and to school. And I'm not used to having 6 kids hanging out in the house 24/7. Since the 1960s, women have made a huge progress by going into the workforce and using their talents to make the world a better place. I think it's supremely important that every woman understands and realizes what her talents are, her inclinations are, the things that she loves doing, and then she uses those things to better the society. I mean, this is what I do in my business. I help women figure out what is that mission of theirs that they can use to make more money while making the world a better place. But I think there's a problem when we forget how to be parents and when we feel very challenged by having our kids around. And that's exactly the story of Egypt. The women of Egypt were challenged. They could not have their children around. So what did they say? I did my part. I had the child. Now you, God, you take care of my child. And it was a tremendous act of faith. And just like the babies of Egypt, our children are also drowning. Our children are drowning in our own make-believe world of busy. We're all so busy. We're also workaholic. We just don't have time for these children. We don't have an opportunity for these children. And so we farm them out for somebody else to take care of them. And I think Corona has really brought this issue to the fore. I think for many women, and for many men, for many families, this is probably their number one issue. How do we continue working? How do we continue functioning as a family when we have to spend so much time together? And what is supposed to be a blessing, being able to spend so much time together as a family, is becoming quite a challenge for many people. The only way we can survive is by creating new skills and finding new ways to parent. So for me personally, this meant waking up one day early in this lockdown, sitting down with my kids and creating a Zoom schedule so that they all have a color-coded schedule when they will get the family computer to use for their Zoom classes. And at other times, they will get mom's or dad's phone, but basically everybody has their needs met. For me, this also means getting up every morning and figuring out how to keep my 5-year-old occupied while I also need to devote some time to work. It's a real, real challenge, and there's just too much work and not enough of us. But this is how families have been functioning for thousands of years. For thousands of years, mom would get up in the morning and do her work while at the same time take care of the kids. And I think in this respect, COVID has really brought us face to face with two issues that have been plaguing our society for the past 50 years. On the one hand, we've been, like I said, farming out our children and not really being there for them. But on the other hand, we have put the kids up on a pedestal and decided that they need constant supervision, constant attention, constant activity, constant education, 24/7. So if the kids are not programmed and are not entertained by an adult, they can't manage. And Corona has made both of those situations untenable. On the one hand, many of us have to spend a lot of time with our children in the same 4 walls. And on the other hand, we're realizing that we need to give our kids much more freedom, much more opportunity to deal on their own, to entertain themselves, to maybe get bored. I don't know if you know this, but one of the most educational thing for children is to actually be bored. When kids are bored, their intelligence is challenged. They're challenged to find ways to be creative. They're challenged to find ways to keep themselves entertained. And this is something that we have not allowed our kids to do for quite a long time. So while Corona is a huge crisis, it's also a huge opportunity. It's a huge opportunity for all of us to re-examine our family life. It's an opportunity for all of us to re-examine our education. It's an opportunity to re-examine our relationship with our children and our parenting. How much time are we spending with our children as quality time that we enjoy together? How skilled are we in our parenting? Maybe we need some help in that, in getting more skills or in getting counseling in how to be better parents, but also how to let go, how to empower our children to take care of themselves, obviously in safe limits when we're in the house, how to tell them, go read a book, go play with a toy. It's also about teaching our kids to be part of the family and serve, not just be served, giving them more chores, giving them more responsibility in a way that works for everybody in the family. So I think Corona, in a sense, is a huge blessing in that it has stopped the madness of the mad dash with everybody rushing out of the house at 8 a.m., kids going to daycare, parents running off to school or work, and not meeting again until 6 or 7 p.m. for dinner when everybody then goes to sleep. Instead, Corona has brought us all together into one space. And yes, it's a challenge because it's something we have not done in decades, if not centuries. But now we have the time to be together. We have the time to examine priorities. We have the time to teach our children the values we want. And no. So no, I don't think coronavirus is a disaster for feminism. I think coronavirus is a blessing for women who can re-examine priorities, re-examine their relationship with their children, and maybe, just maybe, take a break from the mad dash of running up the career ladder and create a more balanced lifestyle that works for everybody in her family, including herself. After the break, we'll talk about an upcoming holiday, the holiday of Tu B'Shvat, which will be celebrated on Thursday. It's the holiday of fruit trees, and more about that when we come back after this commercial break.
Are you interested in transforming your life, drawing closer to the Creator, and uncovering the deeper meanings and hidden treasures in the Hebrew Bible?
Then join me, Rav Yitzhak Michelson.
And me, William Hall.
On the Science of Kabbalah, where we are seeking to narrow the gap between what we understand of our physical and spiritual worlds. So make sure to tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
And welcome back. So the recent months of COVID have not only been a time of a health pandemic, but there's been an economic pandemic as well. Many people have lost their jobs or have been working less hours. The unemployment is quite high, and people who in the past lived quite comfortably are struggling these days. And in this week's Torah portion, we read about the Jews who just left Egypt and faced their own economic hardship because, you see, they could not take any provisions. So once they walked into the desert, God gave them the man. Man was a heavenly bread that the Jews had together every single day, only for that day. And anything that was left over from one day to the next would get spoiled. On the other hand, on Friday, the Jews would get a double portion for Friday and Saturday. And it says that the righteous people found the man right by the doorstep, people who were less righteous had to go out far to find their food. I know that it is hard, especially when we're facing economic difficulties we did not have in the past, but the lesson of taking it one day at a time, of being satisfied with what we have today, of gratitude for what we have today, is an important lesson of the month. And it requires faith. There's a practice of reading the portion of the month in the 16th chapter of the book of Exodus every single day. And there is an old custom, a tradition from Rabbi Menachem Mendel of Rimonov, one of the earliest Hasidic masters who lived at the end of the 18th century, to read the portion of Man on Tuesday of the Torah portion of Bishalach, which is this coming Tuesday. So if you have a few minutes, open your Bible to the 16th chapter of Exodus and read that chapter on the Man. It is a strong, powerful custom from bringing more blessing into your life. And then there's another day this week that is all about the blessing. It's called Tu B'Shvat, the Jewish holiday of trees. In the land of Israel, by this time, most of the rains have fallen. There'll be a little bit more rain in the next couple of weeks. And then it will be summer till after Sukkot. And there is no rain in Israel during the summer. On Tu B'Shvat, the trees are said to be enjoying new sap. It's a new year for the trees. And this special day is celebrated in Israel with a Seder. Yes, just like the one we have on Passover. So what does the Tu B'Shvat Seder look like? It's a table set with every kind of fruit, wine, cake that are grown in the land of Israel. One of my biggest pleasures, one of my highlights of the year, is walking into my local village grocery store and finding endless supplies of produce in the produce section. And practically all of the fruit eaten in Israel is actually grown in Israel. On some years, we count as many as 100 types of fruit on our table. Fruit, nuts, produce. It's wonderful. So what do you do on this coming Wednesday? You set a table and you put a bottle of Israeli wine and some Israeli crackers or other baked goods made from Israeli wheat and any kind of fruit or nuts from Israel that you can get your hands on. And then you sit around this beautiful table and you make blessings. You make a blessing on the wine, Borei Pri HaGefen. You make a blessing on the baked goods, Borei Menei Mezonot. And you make blessings on the fruit, Borei Pri HaEtz. It's a wonderful custom. It's colorful and it's a time for us to count our many, many blessings. And I feel so blessed every year on Tu B'Shvat. I feel so blessed to be living in the land of Israel. My great parents and great grandparents could have only dreamed of living in the land of Israel. And I think if somebody would have told them that their granddaughter would be living in the land of Israel so nonchalantly, such a normal life, they would have been incredulous. My other blessing is having people that I love share this holiday with me. I feel especially blessed to be bringing up my children in the land of Israel. Just this past Shabbat, we went for a walk around our community and they jumped on the hills of the land of Israel, the hills that have been barren for 2,000 years and are now ringing with joy of the Jewish children's laughter. But the biggest blessing in my life is actually witnessing the redemption of the Jewish people right in front of my eyes. It is said in the Talmud, in the Tractate of Sanhedrin, on page 98, that there are signs of redemption. And the biggest, clearest, most revealed sign of redemption is when the land of Israel gives bountiful fruit to its children. You see, the land of Israel was barren for 2,000 years. and is actually a secret that the Torah reveals to us. It is said in the Torah that when the Jewish people will be exiled, the land will become barren. It will not give any fruit. And the Ramban, a classic medieval commentator, says that this curse is really a blessing in disguise, because the land of Israel gives fruit only to one nation, to the Jewish people. And we actually witnessed this quite recently. Before 2005, when Jewish people lived in Gush Katif, in the Gaza Strip, they grew vegetables that were exported throughout Europe. Europeans ate peppers and tomatoes grown by Jews in greenhouses in the Gaza Strip. The Jewish farmers developed a special kind of know-how how to grow green vegetables without any bugs in them. And these green vegetables are still known as the Gush Katif vegetables. The local Arab population found a welcome source of employment in the greenhouses of the Jewish communities. But then in 2005, the Israeli government decided to pull out of Gaza Strip and to destroy the Jewish communities. The Jews left, the greenhouses stayed back, and the Arab workers who used to work in the greenhouses continued tending for them. Within 6 months, not a single tomato vine was left in those greenhouses. And it's not for the lack of skill of the Arab workers. They knew the know-how, they knew the technology, they knew how to grow the vegetables. It's a very simple secret. The land of Israel does not give fruit to anybody but the Jewish people. And so it says in the Talmud that when you see the mountains of Judah give plentiful fruit, it's a welcome sign of redemption. Every morning I walk out of my house into my backyard, and there I have a lemon tree, a pear tree, a plum tree. Sometimes I send my kids out on Friday morning to pick lemons from the tree so we can make salads and dips. And my kids walk into the house with giant lemons the size of an American football, I kid you not, is the surest sign of redemption that we're living in the days when Mashiach is right around the corner. And I feel so grateful for that. I know there's a lot of difficulty out here these days. I know there's a lot of pain. I know there are a lot of people who have lost their jobs, and a lot of people have been forced to go on unemployment. There's so much pain of people being sick, of people recovering. It's all very true. But there's no better time to count our blessings, to take it one day at a time, to know that whatever is plaguing us now will also pass, and we will get to better days. Just like those Jewish women in Egypt who felt the pain but also got the tambourines ready to be able to celebrate when they leave. This is our strength. This is our faith. This is what gets us going. And this is what ultimately will lead us out of our own personal Egypts. Don't despair. Go to the store and get whatever fruits you can get your hands on. Set your table, bake your cake, get some wine, and enjoy. And if this year you cannot enjoy it with friends, then schedule a Zoom call and have an online Tishrei party. Toast each other virtually. And if that's not possible, well, you can always have a party on your own. You know, when I was in the United States, I went to college and I was alone in the dormitory for quite a few Shabbatot. And sometimes on Shabbat, I would get my challah roll and cold cuts and some vegetables and have Shabbat alone. But that didn't mean I couldn't sing. That didn't mean I couldn't dance. That couldn't mean I couldn't have a party. Because we always choose our perspective. In dark times and in glorious times, we choose if we're happy, we choose if we're sad. And this is our beautiful, beautiful time to count our blessings, to feel the new sap, the new energy not just in the trees, but in ourselves, to understand that the spring is just around the corner. And yes, this winter and this suffering will soon be over. And we can already see Passover. It's just 2 months away. Our redemption is so, so close. So as we finish this episode, I hope that you can take with it more faith, more hope, more happiness into the coming week. May this week be a week of song and gratitude for you. Until next week, see you then.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Jake in Anchorage, Alaska, and I love listening to all the super interesting interviews and up-to-date information on what's happening in Israel.
Hello, this is Anna King, originally from London, now living in Israel. And what can I say? Israel News Talk Radio is my cup of tea.
My name is Bhaskar. I'm from India, and I love listening because you get to know the truth and wonderful voices from this lovely country.
Mom! Okay, wait a minute.
Hi, this is Chava Dax, and I'm calling for the rolling hills of Maale Adumim, just north of Jerusalem. I always listen to Israel News Talk Radio to get all the latest news and commentary and to keep me up to date every day.
This is Sarah Dax from Maale Adumim, and I'm 12. I wish Israel News Talk Radio was boring so my mom wouldn't listen to it all the time. Mom!
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.